Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Ilya Marritz in for Allison Stewart on All of It. And one of the rewarding things about home quarantining, if you don't have kids, is the fact that there may be more time to read, like read books and read more ambitiously. I finally got around to The Magic Mountain in the last month or two, and I delved into a bunch of 20th century history too. This weekend, the New York Times Magazine is going all fiction with new stories from Margaret Atwood, Tommy Orange, Edwige Danticat, and David Mitchell. It's 29 stories in all of them written during the coronavirus, and they're calling this the Decameron Project. It is named for the Decameron, which is a collection of novellas written during the bubonic plague in the 14th century. So let's talk about it now with Caitlin Roper. She is editorial director of the New York Times Magazine Labs. Do I have your title right, Caitlin?
That's correct, Ilya. Hi, nice to join you.
What is New York Times Magazine Labs?
I would think of it as a special projects unit of the New York Times Magazine. It's really part of the magazine, and sometimes we work on special magazine issues, and sometimes we work on special sections, like the monthly New York Times for Kids section that appears on the last Sunday of every month in the newspaper.
So let's talk about your inspiration for the Decameron Project. I am not too proud to admit that I have not read Boccaccio's Decameron. What's in it? What can you tell me about it?
Well, so first I'll just say, you know, Boccaccio wrote this in the 14th century, and he wrote it all as a bunch of nested stories. But the basic premise and what you need to know is that it's a set of stories told by a group of people, 10 people who are sheltering in place during the plague. And so you can understand where the connection to this present moment is. You know, the stories range humorous, moving, body, dark, frightening, but really it was written as a distraction from the worry of the plague. And the whole project came to be because the novelist Rivka Galchin pitched my colleague Claire Gutierrez, an editor at the magazine, a letter of recommendation, a magazine front of book feature about the Decameron for this moment. And from that idea, Claire thought, well, what if we made a special issue around it? And that's where we got talking. And our ambitions grew, and that's how we ended up where we are today with this crazy collection of 29 short stories.
And Caitlin, I understand you might be willing to give us a taste of some of the stories. Do you have a reading or two lined up for us?
I would love to do that. You know, it's hard to pick when there are 29 stories, and they're from writers all over the world. But I did pick a couple to just a tiny little excerpt from a few of them. If you'd like me to do that, I could start with Margaret Atwood.
Please go ahead.
So her story is called Impatient Griselda, you know, and Margaret Atwood needs no introduction, but her pitch for the story I wanted to tell you because it was funny. So it is told to a group of quarantined earthlings by an alien from a distant planet who has been sent to Earth as part of an interstellar aid package. That was her pitch. That's the entirety of the pitch. And of course, on that pitch, we said, great, we would love to read this story. So, you know, it's a real nod to the storytelling framing in the original Decameron. And I'll just read a little short excerpt. Yes, I know I look like what you call an octopus, little young entity. I have seen pictures of those amicable beings. If the way I appear truly disturbs you, you may close your eyes. It would allow you to pay better attention to the story in any case. No, you may not leave the quarantine room. The plague is out there. It would be too dangerous for you, though not for me. We do not have that type of microbe on our planet.
We do not have that type of microbe on our planet. I think I still would not be willing to go to another planet. I'm going to tough it out on this planet. But Margaret Atwood is, of course, such a perfect novelist to go to for something like this because she's very informed by science fiction and always has been.
Yes, yes, exactly. And you know, the real joy of such a wide swath of different types of writers from all over the world means there are many tones, many styles of these stories. And, you know, of course, maybe it doesn't go without saying there are not a lot of stories about aliens, but Margaret Atwood's story is just so funny. And I hope people will read it. I could also read a little bit from Edwige Danticat, Her story is called One Thing.
Sure.
Yeah, so, and you know, she's a Haitian-American novelist of many, many books, including Breath Eyes Memory. And her story is about a couple who are separated while he is sick with coronavirus in the hospital. And of course, you know, part of the reason I wanted to read this little excerpt to you is because that story speaks to how many of the stories, you know, written during quarantine by these incredible writers really are connected to this present moment. It's a mournful, you know, beautiful story, in my opinion. Okay. She thinks that tonight on the phone, he'll play some of his favorite Nina Simone again. Last night she played Wild as the Wind 16 times for the 16 weeks they've been married. At their wedding, everyone is expecting some kind of gag, a hip-hop interlude in the middle of their first dance, and his abysmal breakdancing interrupting the mournful jazz. But they dance the entire 7 minutes of the live recording, cheek to cheek. You kiss me, with your kiss my life begins. You're spring to me, all things to me. Don't you know your life itself?
Wow. I'm curious to know, you know, it always, we talked about this earlier on the show, there's always sort of a lag between a thing that happens and then the art that you make about it. And it's almost like you're kind of pushing this forward quickly by commissioning all these writers to write fiction about the moment that we're in. What did you learn by doing that? What did you learn from them?
You know, that is exactly true. You know, what we hoped was that somehow by asking these artists to write in this moment, we would learn something about what was happening to us. You know, the cover line on the magazine issue is when reality is surreal, only fiction can make sense of it. And so what you're saying is exactly what we were thinking about. Like, wouldn't it be incredible to have these writers help us understand and grapple with what's going on? And you know, not every story is sad, of course, not at all. And not every story is really in the details of coronavirus as Edwidge Dantekatz is. But I think they all help me, as a reader at least, process what's happening.
Right. I suppose for those of us who don't get sick or are not frontline workers or are not sort of dealing with that directly in our family, the biggest disruption is that we're just home all the time. We might be confronted with our spouse or our kids a lot more, or just ourselves and the headspace there. And that's rich stuff for novelists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's such a good point, because many of the stories, you know, some toggle sort of from far out in the world, you know, a very sort of what I would call a zoomed out perspective, and some are really in the nitty gritty. There is a lot of stories that do grapple with family dynamics. There's a story by the Italian writer Paolo Giordano that is really about sort of the sex life of this couple and how it's altered by his stepson quarantining at home in a small space with them. And so, you know, that's just one example. There's many that really, you know, some really are about exactly what you're saying, sort of interpersonal family dynamics. Another one by Alejandro Zambra is translated from the Spanish, and that story is about screen time for kids. You know, again, very, very timely from my point of view with two toddlers.
Huh. And tell me about the David Mitchell story. I'm a huge David Mitchell fan. I've read almost all of his books.
Ah, me too. I've read them all. His, you know, obviously Cloud Atlas is a favorite of mine, but his latest novel I really recommend. It's called Utopia Avenue. It's just out. He's also one of my favorites, Ilya. He wrote about a prisoner going into Belmarsh Prison in London and who gets sick with a virus. That story is called If Wishes with Horses. And I'm going to say right at the top, I cannot do an Irish accent or a British accent, so I won't be trying. But you'll hear some of the lilt of the language. My body's a body bag, stuffed with pain, hot gravel, and me. Three steps to the shitter and I'm done. It hurts. Breathing hurts. Not breathing hurts. Everything bloody hurts. It's night, not day. Night 7, night 8. Zam says I'm dehydrated. He makes me drink water. Mr. Rat got to the breakfast box before me, ate his way inside and nicked the sausage. I ain't hungry, but still. Could die in here and nobody'd know till the pandemic's over. Mr. Rat would know, Mr. Rat and his hungry friends. If I died here, what'll Jem remember of me? Skinny skinhead skull in prison, PJs blubbing at her picture of mummy daddy Gemma and Blueberry Dash.
All right, a selection from David Mitchell, part of the Decameron Project, which Caitlin Roper has been shepherding. It's her idea based on Boccaccio's Decameron and a fictional account of the bubonic plague from centuries ago, inspiring the writers of today. Caitlin, people can catch that in this weekend's New York Times Magazine or, I guess, online as well?
That's right. It just went online today, and it's in the magazine this Sunday, July 12th.
And let's see, well, we only have just like a second or two left. If people do want to, are inspired to tackle the Cameron after this, any advice for them?
I think, you know, I heard from a friend and my colleague, Claire, who I worked on this issue with, that she went to her local bookstore in Brooklyn and they didn't have any more copies of the Decameron. So that suggests to me that people are turning to it right now, you know, and the guy in the bookstore said, no, really, you know, it's been selling out. This is a Penguin classic, obviously, from the 14th century. So I think some readers are finding, you know, some solace in it in the way Boccaccio intended.
Thank you, Caitlin Roper. Thank you, Caitlin Roper, editorial director of the New York Times Magazine Labs, the Decameron Project, this weekend in the New York Times.